From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. For the first time in more than 40 years, a female panther has been found living north of the Caloosahatchee River. It's an encouraging sign for some, but with roughly 30 panthers dying each year from car accidents, how many panthers can Southwest Florida really house? Ahead, we hear from both sides of the debate about how far panther protection should go. And development in Southwest Florida is booming once again, with more and more new houses being built. In November, new housing permits jumped about 40% compared to last year. As these developments push eastward, those new homes will impact not only wildlife habitat, but the real estate market. Coming up, we'll talk about the eastward march of Southwest Florida's development and improvements that homeowners can make to compete with new construction. First, this news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. We're talking about new home development and how these new houses pinch the value of existing homes. In November, the number of new home building permits jumped 40% over a year ago, following a trend towards more and more new building throughout Southwest Florida. To talk with us about the current state of the real estate market, we have Realtor Joe Pavich of J. Pavich Realty World in Estero, one of the first two real estate companies in Estero. He's also the incoming president of the Bonita Estero Association of Realtors, with the acronym BEAR, which is ironic since we were talking earlier about animal encounters and bear incidences out in neighborhoods in far-reaching eastern Estero. We're also joined by interior designer Dwayne Bergman of Dwayne Bergman Interiors, who can give owners of existing homes some ideas to update without overspending in order to make an outdated home appeal more to someone who is eyeing a brand new sparkling house. Thanks to both of you for being with us today. Do you have a house that you're planning to sell, but you don't know what to do to upgrade to get the best price? You can give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Online, we're on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag Gulf Coast Live or GCL. Joe, you've been in business here since 1992. In most of the world, that's not terribly long, but here it's kind of like a different era, pre-Coconut Point, pre-Eastward development. Did you ever think builders were going to be heading that far east?
Actually, Julie, when we first moved here, Wildcat Run was one of the only communities east of 75, and that seemed like that was just out in the middle of nowhere. And shortly after that, in the early 90s, they built Worthington Country Club east of 75, and at the time, we didn't think that anyone was interested in living east of 75, but they proved us wrong. So they came out with a bundled golf community, had a great marketing plan, and the buyers came.
Yeah. Well, Dwayne, you've been working on homes throughout the area. Are you surprised how far out in the middle of nowhere people are going out there in the east?
I am always surprised when we get to go and look at some of the new developments that are being put into place and quite frankly, how far people are willing to move to live in a new development versus buy a home that could be reimagined and revisualized closer into the city where they would have better access to existing community public places, entertainment, grocery stores, and where a lot of us already live as well.
I mean, do you think that there's kind of a fixation with people coming down to this area? They just want to have new. Do you see that?
Absolutely. It's also easier. Most of the time we see buyers who are coming in that are looking for new homes, especially in the production build communities where they're here for a few days or maybe a few weekends in a row. They can walk in and easily make their selections and leave and come back in 6 to 8 months and their house is ready to go.
All magical and new. Do you see a lot of people looking for new?
Yes, I do, Julie. Besides design and upgrades, you know, we also see people that are moving down here looking for the energy efficiency of a new home, the new construction standards, you know, the impact glass now with the smart homes where the home has a modem where you could be anywhere in the country and make sure your air conditioning is on or get your house turned on and air conditioned on your way home from the airport. I mean, those are the things that we're seeing that people are interested in. And not only that, cost of homeowners insurance. When you have a new home with all the current building standards, you know, your insurance is less. And then as we sprawl east, we get away from the flood zones and you know, people come down here and the first thing they're worried about are hurricanes and floods. And yeah. as you go east of 75, you know, we go up to, in some areas, you know, 25, 30 feet above sea level when we get out there, which is obviously not in a flood zone.
And then you get – but here's the question. You get people from out of state. They're coming to Florida. Are they aware of the fact that they are now going to be living in a wildlife area? I mean, these are places you – we have wildlife running through neighborhoods and breaking into houses in Bella Terra and eating Easter candy. You heard about the bear, remember?
Yes, you do. As a matter of fact, our family lives in Bella Terra. So, you know, it's – it's a shock to them when you ride into the community and they know that there is a bear present. There was a sign in Bella Terra stating, you know, that a bear was present, and it gave people, you know, some concern. But we highlight, you know, so it's not such a shock to people. We, you know, explain to people that we're building out towards the Everglades and you're going to see wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are they concerned about that kind of impact? Or
I would say somewhat, yes, especially if they have, you know, young children.
Yeah, I would imagine. But there are all these wonderful, nice new homes right in the middle of that habitat. But on the other end, how are the existing homes? Do we have a decent inventory of those right now?
Well, the inventory of single-family – I'll use single-family home as an example. The inventory of single-family homes under $400,000 is very scarce. So the inventory – I would say most of our inventory is from – 600,000 to a million, and that's what is directly competing with the new construction prices. You know, if you're looking for a $250,000 to $300,000 home, you're going to have to buy resale unless you go to Lehigh Acres and Cape Coral. But if you want to stay in the Estero, Bonita, mm-hmm. Naples area, you won't find new construction at that price.
Okay. Duane, I wanted to ask you a quick question about old house versus new house. Like he was saying, we do have some old houses, older houses, and by old, we're talking about 5 or 10 years old, that are on the market. How do they stack up to these newer houses, and how can they stack up?
So on the design side, most of the time we need to go in and adjust the color palette. We've moved from the burgundies and the Tuscan era into a more crisp, clean, bright white and beige-grayish kind of environment. So usually a quick update on the painting will make a huge difference. We've been in several homes where we've just simply changed the paint color and you know, a realtor or a new client will walk in and go, I can't believe how big this house is. It's just so much larger than what I envisioned when it was a dark yellow or a maroon, green, those deeper Tuscan colors. So that's the first thing. And then the second is really looking at interior walls. Most of the time, some of the older homes aren't as open with an open floor plan. Every new home that's being built is being built with an open floor plan. Usually with the size and scope of the homes that were built 5 to 10 years ago, the trusses span from wall to wall, so we can easily remove interior walls to make it a greater, more open floor plan. And several times we're able to show our clients this with the 3D technology that's readily available. So it doesn't take quite as much of imagination and trust as it used to with the technology available to us. And we'll go in and we'll show them this is what it would look like with this wall moved back, maybe the kitchen moved here or there. And all of a sudden, this house can become a very current feeling floor plan and very competitive with what's new on the market today.
And you're talking about the look, that Mediterranean look that was so happening. I mean, everything was Mediterranean. And that was up until, what, 2007 maybe? And it's almost like it just – the light switch turned and it's just out.
Absolutely.
It looks super dated super fast.
It did. And I think –
is that normal for that to for things to change that quickly, or was it because it was so extreme?
Well, for me personally, and this is an opinion, not based upon facts, but from my opinion perspective, is that, you know, this very heavy Tuscan look is not necessarily something that related to the way that people live in Southwest Florida. We like this indoor outdoor lifestyle. It's a coastal community. We should probably embrace more of this coastal color palette and interiors that work well indoors and outdoors. So we would have this extreme division of the exterior space to the interior space. And I think that's what's caused everyone to notice, wow, when we really inflect our interiors with a more of a coastal plan and a coastal palette, it's a little bit cleaner, simpler, and brighter. It really enhances our outdoor living experience when we're inside.
Because you feel like you're outside.
Absolutely. So I think it's very interesting that once more people have started to see the influence of what coastal living is like here in Southwest Florida, it was a very easy, let's turn the switch off from this really heavy, dark look of the Tuscan Mediterranean movement.
It was pretty dark. We're talking about development and new homes and how older homes can compete and ways you can reduce the need for new development. You can share your thoughts with us at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Online, we're on Facebook at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. Joe, when a person's looking at their house that's 15 or 20 years old and they're considering what improvements they need to make, you know, whether they're going to sell in the next year or 5 years, what would you advise based on what buyers are looking for? Does it matter to them if it has a new roof or a new pool pump or paint colors?
First and foremost, the roofing. You know, if the roof is pre-2000, you know, it's going to be very hard for them to get a homeowner's insurance policy on that property. You know, also we have other issues out there now where in the late 80s, early 90s, builders used this polybutylene water pipe. Now that has become an issue where you cannot get a homeowner, or you could get a homeowner's insurance policy, but it could be almost 2 to 3 times more expensive than a policy with copper tubing or some other type of water pipe.
How hard is it to retrofit that?
It's normally a pretty easy fix. I would say the average home, it's about a $5,000 fix.
And then on the flip side, if they spend the $5,000, do they expect to see that coming back in the price of their home or more?
Well, the worst thing that can happen is you sell your home, you're excited, you're moving towards a closing, and you have a home inspection, and you find the home inspector tells you that the roof and the water pipe needs to be replaced. So I would say that just so you wouldn't have any surprises at the end, yes, we would highlight that as a perk, you know, to purchase this home. Mm-hmm. And then also the great room floor plan, you know, is very popular now. You know, we're not seeing many multi-level, you know, countertops. It's a, you know, low flat countertop where you could pull 6 bar stools up to. Estero had the Mediterranean theme throughout the community, and I think that's actually what brought a lot of the heavy Mediterranean to this area because they bought Mediterranean style homes.
Well, I think that's still part of the city's planning thing.
It is. We completely remodeled our home about 3 years ago and found out that we had to go to Miami to get a contemporary look and brought in Miami tile people and cabinet makers. And we were a little bit ahead of our time to come up with that crisp, you know, look.
Yeah. And it's really what people are going to. Do you have a lot of people coming to you, Duane, to remodel and to update things?
Yes. So I would say all of our luxury residential business that is not involved with new builders is to lighten, brighten, and contemporize their home. So I would say a significant amount of our work on a daily basis is going in and re-envisioning a floor plan, putting in new flooring, new kitchens, different countertops, adjusting the floor plan, new lighting across the board, and obviously paint and some of the other finishes just to really brighten it. And crisp, you're absolutely right, Joe. We visit Miami quite frequently. We've brought in several of these lines, and we get requests all the time because we have the lines here available in Fort Myers now. But it was difficult a few years ago. You really had not only a few places to find materials, but the installers, we would have to provide some additional training on how to install these plumbing fixtures from Italy or Germany. And the same thing with the kitchen countertops and cabinetry with being a different style. So instead of having these double OG edges on the countertops, we would have reverse bevel or 1cm countertops and waterfall legs. It's just something that's not necessarily was a popular a few years ago. Now everybody's asking for that. That's what they want. You know, please get rid of this multi-level island. Give me a waterfall leg. Give me something clean. Let's get something bright.
What's a waterfall leg?
A waterfall leg is where your countertop continues from the countertop down the side of your cabinetry and sits on the floor. So we incorporate these into several scenarios. One is to add additional countertop space to extend your countertop and then allow bar stools to be somewhat enclosed in that area. And sometimes it's just to give it a nice decorative feature on the end of the countertop. It's very crisp, very clean, and gives your entire look. It takes out some of the wood look and gives you more of this stone look in your kitchen.
So the two-level island is no longer.
Very few. And when we use those, it's a specific purpose. So if we're maybe putting a cooktop in the island and maybe some other features, like we're working on a project now where we're incorporating a baking center into the island itself. So there are some scenarios where we would still use a split level bar counter, but it's very, very rare. 90% of the time we're using one level and it's counter height level. And if we do two level, we actually do the reverse of that and drop the seating level to table height.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Julie, one other thing. In trying to compete with your resale property with new construction, we live in a very pet-friendly area. People have pets. A lot of times they really don't realize they have pet odor in their property. You know, first people walk in the front door of a house to look at a new home, no matter how well decorated it is, if they have the scent of either animal, cat, dog, or if they smoke in the house or whatever, those are the first and foremost. You know, decluttering and depersonalizing are the big issues, that first feeling when you walk in the door.
Well, the owner may be nose blind, I think, is the – I think that's the – advertising slogan of some Febreze or something. I don't remember which one, but somebody said you live with it all the time. You don't even notice that it smells. So what carries that? Is that mainly like carpet?
The carpet, normally the carpet, actually all the cloth furniture, the draperies, you know, the padding of the carpeting, sometimes even the flooring, if it's a wood type flooring, will pick up the smell also. So that's very, very important.
So you need to have an impartial nose check out your house.
Exactly right.
For sure. All right. So I have a question. Now, there's things that people want to do to improve their house, but what can they expect to get in return? For example, if you spend $10,000 on your new kitchen and you get one flat countertop instead of a bi-level countertop and you update things to this point. So say you spend – is there any kind of equation? If you spend this much, you're expecting to see that much, and does it depend on what rooms are important to make sure you update to?
Julie, I do a lot of business in Estero and the Fountain Lakes community, and we have a wonderful community there, but the homes are all 20 years old. So when it comes to remodeling some of these homes, like we spoke about earlier, the internal walls could be removed and opened up to a great room floor plan instead of the separate living room and family room. I got off track with you with your question. I'm sorry.
So when they do something like that, take out a wall and they spend this much, what are the priorities of things that need to be updated in order to get the maximum bang and also look better and attract the new home buyer?
I was leading up to something. I was going to give you an example.
Okay.
So there, you know, a home that has not been updated, of course, everyone knows if you're going to put money in the house, you put it in the kitchen and the bathrooms. Okay. So that could make a difference from $160 a square foot to $190 a square foot. So it could make a considerable difference in the price of your home. The appraisers will also, when they appraise your home, they will give you a higher appraisal when they see, you know, those three rooms upgraded.
All right. So mainly kitchen, bathroom.
Kitchen, bathrooms.
Those are very important. All right. Well, we do have a phone call. We have Mike on the line calling in from Fort Myers. Mike, you have a question?
Yeah. We live in an older home, and you guys are talking about doing renovations and stuff like that to entice new buyers. And a lot of new homes come with existing pools. And I was wondering if having a pool installed would be a good addition, both financially and if you'd see a return on that investment. And I could get my call or my answer off here.
Okay. Thanks.
That's a good question. I would say that out of 10 homes, 8 of them will sell with pools. More people look for pool homes than without. So if you were going to add a $50,000 pool, which is kind of par for a pool nowadays, it will, first of all, make your house more sellable. But you will. I just want you to know that you will not get $50,000 back in return. It may only make a $25,000 to $30,000 difference in the ultimate price of your home.
Mm, well, that's probably not the wisest investment then, I guess.
But again, it'll your best bet is to, if you want a pool, buy a home with a pool and negotiate your best deal on
then
a pool home.
Putting a pool in after the fact is around $50,000.
Yeah, it would be. And then also you have to remember that you normally have neighbors on both sides of you that you're going to have to negotiate with for equipment to come in and out of their property. And then dealing with the pool contractor, you know, separately. When you put a pool in and when you're building a home, of course, that contractor and the pool builder are very well coordinated with each other. So,
yeah, that any kind of remodel is, you know, usually not the most fun thing to live in your house through. How do you do with a remodel? How do you keep it clean so your people that are living there can handle it? How long does it take? Things like that.
Yeah, we break it down for our clients, and based on the extent of the renovation, whether we point blank suggest that they move out. So if our renovation is extending probably 3 to 6 months, we strongly suggest that they move out if they're living here year round. If not, we plan the remodel for the summer months so that we hit May 1st and we execute the renovation from May to November. They've usually been away for the entire time span that the renovation has occurred, and they walk back in November to kind of a new shiny house and everything was
new
smooth.
House.
Right. So it's very interesting for us with the planning and timing on the renovations. The more we can do in advance and the more decisions that we can get nailed down and agreed to in advance, the more streamlined the process is. So it's definitely more difficult than one might think trying to coordinate all of the parts and pieces. We typically have about 200 decisions that need to be made when we're specifying materials for a renovation that extends throughout the entire home. And we walk our clients through that point by point and really give them a sense of, okay, this is what the duration is. This is what the cost is going to be. This is the impact that's going to have on your lifestyle if you're trying to live through this. And we're very transparent. The last thing that you want to do is try to, oh, yes, you can live through this by just putting a plastic wall. We're going to zip wall, you know, this area off. I don't know. Plaster drywall dust has a way of making itself present in every single room in a house during a renovation. So there's never a super clean renovation. There's always going to be something that happens that was not planned for. There's always a surprise, like you talk about the plumbing or an electrical box or something buried that you didn't know existed behind a wall, or something that wasn't built according to plan, which happens regularly.
And I think we've all watched the shows on HGTV where there's always a surprise and the budget always gets blown.
Absolutely. So we definitely try to avoid as much of that as possible, but you're always going to have something that's unforeseen. So it's a challenge for clients to live through renovations. And if we can phase them and go through the process room by room versus blowing out the entire house, if we're doing that extent of renovation, then it does make it a little bit easier. But you still have the starting and stopping of multiple subcontractors. So every project is different. Every client's needs are different. And every renovation has to be approached as its own entity.
Its own life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One final thought. If you're looking to build a new home and go and look at a new community and build new construction, use a realtor. The realtor is going to help you make the right decision on the upgrades that you need, especially location. You know, you may want to be careful on building on a perimeter lot. You know, a south exposure home sells more for more money than a north exposure home. So a lot of these things that you won't pay attention to when you're overwhelmed and wowed by new construction.
In like a big sales building.
Right. A realtor, you know, will guide you. And, you know, the builder pays a realtor, so it doesn't cost you anything. And they'll help you build the right way.
And the same with designing. I know one of your tags is if you hire and work with a designer, the designer is paid, and you will still end up probably end up spending less in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had the opportunity to prove that case multiple times, just simply from mistakes. So we can, you know, we've had multiple opportunities to prove ourselves, and love trying to save you the dollars that you would otherwise be able to avoid by using a design firm.
Yeah, mistakes are expensive when you're remodeling. That's correct. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today and our discussion today on development, its impacts on the land, and with new homeowners. Thanks again to my guest, Realtor Joe Pavich and designer Dwayne Bergman. Gulf Coast Live is produced by Matthew Smith and additional help from A.J. Leonard and John Davis. Our show is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. Tomorrow on Gulf Coast Live, a look at autism and other special education needs and a conversation with a woman who builds soothing rooms to help students with autism cope with the stressors of the classroom. Plus, a toxin found in reef fish right here in Southwest Florida leads to bizarre symptoms and can even be fatal. We'll talk to the researcher studying what's known as ciguatera. Thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1 WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM NPR for Southwest Florida.